This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today on the program, we're speaking with Dr. Stephanie Teosia, Distinguished Board Certified Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeon from Flower Mound, Texas, who serves patients in the Dallas area. As a top expert in her field, Dr. Teosia will share her professional insights on the intricacies of facelift surgery. She will also introduce her Max facelift technique, which merges the effectiveness of traditional facelift surgery with a quicker recovery. Additionally, Dr. Teosia discusses her state-of-the-art awake facelift that can be performed in the office using Pronox anesthesia. And Dr. Teosia, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Good morning.
And a good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us. I know you stay busy, so we appreciate the time allotted for us today. So for starters, who is considered a good candidate for a Max facelift procedure? Let's start there.
Well, a good candidate for the Max facelift procedure is typically an individual in their, usually starting in their 50s, although people experience signs of facial aging, such as sagging skin, deep creases, and loss of facial volume at different points in their life. Ideal candidates are generally in good health, non-smokers, and have maintained a stable weight. It's important that patients and I have the same expectations about the outcome of the surgical procedure. And I should comment that the Max facelift is a great option for those with busy schedules. It's not as invasive in the sense that patients do not require general anesthesia. This is performed in the office minor OR using local anesthesia as numbing, as well as Pronox, which is similar to laughing gas. The Max facelift incisions are discreetly placed behind the ear and along the hairline, and the technique involves lifting the tissue upward and securing the tissue in a vertical fashion to counteract the effects of gravity. Extra tissue is carefully trimmed away during the process, and this results in a natural and refreshed appearance. And the Max facelift specifically addresses the mid-face, the lower face, and the jawline.
Really do appreciate the thorough response and a great way to kick things off here today. Now, since you offer your facelift, neck lift, and blepharoplasty surgeries in office, what are the benefits of having an in-office procedure versus, say, at a surgical center?
The recovery time is much quicker. So patients who undergo general anesthesia, typically speaking, have to stay overnight at a surgery center or hospital. Whereas my patients, they walk out of my office. We assist them to their car and we check on them the next day, but they are able to be discharged to the comfort of their own home. Anyone who's had general anesthesia knows that the recovery is a little extended just because you're groggy. Issues like nausea are much more prevalent. And so patients go home and the next day they tend to be up and going instead.
Certainly does sound like the way to go for sure. And when would someone actually want to consider a neck lift along with their facelift?
An individual who has a significant amount of neck skin laxity can incorporate a neck lift along with the Max facelift. Occasionally, I have patients who only want a neck lift, and that's great too. But again, the facelift primarily targets concerns between the jawline and the mid-face, whereas a neck lift is the jawline to the mid portion of the neck.
Certainly do appreciate your insights per your expertise shared so far. We're speaking with Dr. Stephanie Teosia, Distinguished Board Certified Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeon from Flower Mound, Texas, who serves patients in the Dallas area here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, what would one expect when it comes to the recovery? What is the recovery process like for a facelift, and when will the patient see the full results?
Okay. So initially, I ask patients to compress, elevate, and ice. So pretty simple instructions. I would like patients to engage in that regimen definitely for the first couple of days following the procedure. If they can do it for a week, then great. 1 week after the procedure, they're back in my office to have sutures removed. They no longer need to wear the compression during the day and just at night for an additional week. Initially, some patients usually have some degree of swelling, maybe some bruising. That's usually resolved. Everyone's a little different, but approximately 10 days after the procedure. By week two, patients are pretty much back to their normal routine, although I ask them to be precautious about doing a lot of activity where their head is below their heart. They're definitely back to normal by week three. As far as final results, patients are going to notice a significant difference 6 weeks after the procedure, but with any aesthetic procedure, the expectation is to wait a full 6 months in order to fully judge the final outcome.
Super information and feedback from you on that, and that certainly helps those that are considering a facelift and what they could expect when seeing full results as well as the recovery as well. Lastly, why should a patient choose you for their facelift surgery? That may be an awkward question, but I'm sure you have a great response to that.
Okay, that is a great question. I would encourage patients, regardless of whoever they decide to have their perform the procedure, to make sure that their surgeon is a board certified plastic surgeon. And I emphasize the word plastic. That is different than a board certified cosmetic surgeon. A board certified plastic surgeon, if I'm going to talk about myself, I had 10 years of surgical training following medical school. Cosmetic surgeons, it's not the same deal. They were often trained as emergency department physicians or OBGYNs, and they've taken some courses in how to do these procedures. Why do patients come to me? Well, I'll be honest, a lot of my patients are women, and I do think being a female helps the process. I offer an all-female team at my office, and we definitely prioritize creating a comfortable and supportive environment for our patients. At the core of my practice is a very patient-centered approach. I work closely with every individual to understand their goals and concerns. During the initial consultation, my first question to every patient is always open-ended. It's simply, tell me about yourself. And it provides the opportunity for patients to share anything that they deem important to their personal situation and their unique personality and preferences. And hopefully this individualized approach establishes trust and open communication and an optimal result. So if patients choose me for their facelift procedure, they're opting for more than just surgery, but hopefully an overall gratifying aesthetic experience.
Well, certainly is no surprise why folks turn to you for their plastic surgery needs. Dr. Teoch, I really do appreciate your time spent with us here today. If you would, tell listeners where they could find you online and get further details on your practice as well as how they could be in touch as well.
Absolutely. Our website is drstephanieteosha.com. That's with a PH, Stephanie, and my last name is Teotia. Or just give us a call. Our office phone number is 214-823-9652.
And of course, listeners, as always, you can find this link and other information around this interview within the show notes of this broadcast. Dr. Teosha, all the best, and look forward to another conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Stephanie Teosha, distinguished board-certified plastic and reconstructive surgeon from Flower Mound, Texas, who serves patients in the Dallas metro area. And for all the details, simply visit drstephanieteosha.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site, at healthradionetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.